Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. The time is 26 minutes left to the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, you are just right on time for Home Run on Eagle FM, and I'm here until the hour of 6. So let's dive into today's discussion. It's a Monday, and it's the 15th of the 15th of December 2025, and the human rights, the comparison between human rights and anti-corruption is currently going, kicked off today in Doha, Qatar, and it's running until the 19th of December. I picked that as a way to start today's Home Run, because human rights is a very broad, it's a very broad concept, and it's always been expanded. And at some point, water was not considered a human right, even though it's Mother Nature's way of, when it comes to things that are natural, you don't actually have to be told that humans need this. Humans need water, and that's where you now have to define what you mean by water. And if you want people to live a happy and healthy life, you may want to provide them with clean water. So saying that water is a human right is not enough. Healthy drinking water, that's where you want to expand your definition to. Now, the fact that we have to tell ourselves this actually paints a very painful picture about who we are as a species, especially how we can actually be very mean against our own. Now, today's discussion is somewhat going to, is going to slowly be roping in the, the human rights discussion, because we're going to talk about urbanization. Urbanization is not something new to Namibia. Today's discussion is based on a report coming out of the United Nations, which centers around two things mainly. One, urbanization, and that actually one thing, that's urbanization. And we want to make urbanization in line, and on a UN level, urbanization is going to be discussed, or in line with the SDG goal, that's just redundant. SD goal, yeah, because the G in SDG is for goals, sustainable development goals, of which we are a member state, we're a signatory, so, after we put that signature on a, we put that signature down for us to be a UN member state, we automatically subscribed to, we automatically subscribed to everything United Nations-ish. So, SDG number 11 states that, make cities and human settlement inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. Urbanization is one of those discussions that, is going to frequently pop up in modern developmental discussions because of the globally apparent trend in terms of population shift. Population rural to urban population ratio. There's a quick shift, more like there's a rapid shift in population in urban to rural population ratio. The common trend being observed globally, including here in Namibia, is that there is a large number of people that are shifting from that are moving from rural to urban. And we may have developed some fancy technological equipments to help us do things, easily. But the fact remains, we are still animals. As human beings, we are animals. So every time, you know, we are constantly in search of resources. So every time that we see that the place we are on doesn't have much of the resources that we need to survive, we are going to look for places where we can find more of that resources, or at least in comparison, which is why you have, you know, well, immigration. It's always about resources, survival. Now, animals, all animals in the animal kingdom have two things that are inherent to them. Actually three. One, security, which means the instinct to stay alive. That one is inherent. It's built in. Two, you have reproduction. Reproduction. Oh, we fell in love. Mother Nature knows how to trick people to think it's Valentine's Day. Nah, it's reproduction. At the end of the day, it all boils down to that. Have you scrolled through social media and then you came across a picture of a very cute and cuddly, smiley, toothless? For some reason, babies don't have teeth, but their smiles will just take your heart away. Then you have fully grown adults with 32 teeth and the smile is terrible. But that's not the point. And then then we now have something called, especially in the, is something that I keep running into, frequently keep running into on social media, baby fever. And it's also very common in modern days, just the in-person conversations. Baby fever. That baby fever, basically everything that has to do with hormonal changes. We are wired for, to be safe, that's where adrenaline comes in. For reproduction, that's where testosterone, estrogen, and all those, sex hormones comes in. And we are also wired to protect our young and vulnerable. That's all across all, most if not all species. The young and vulnerable, they are always going to be protected. I'm not sure if it's buffaloes or elephants. There's a pattern they follow when they are walking when they have calves among them. The calves are put in the middle. The muscular, those ones that have gym membership are those ones that are going to be surrounding them with some, with a few being in front. So a protection of the young and also looking for resources. That's what we go for. And also mating. I know we have a lot of words, especially as human beings. We have a lot of names for it. All boils down to that. Look, it's a beautiful thing. Don't get me wrong. You are listening to a fellow participant. You're welcome. So, there's a rapid increase in urbanization that's been seen. And you can call it rural to urban migration. The point is, we are wired naturally to look for resources. Wherever there's, whatever place that does not have resources to make us, to feed us, we will abandon that place and look for a place that will have the resources that will sustain us and our future generations. Hunter-gathering is basically based on that. Hunter-gathering is based on that. That's how we ended up in southern parts of Africa in the first place, with all migration. Human beings have been migrating all throughout history. The reason why we migrate is to look for resources. Only that now that we have built cities, we call it rural to urban migration. Bottom line, still migration. Whether you are migrating from rural to urban, or you are migrating from one place to another, and we also call it what's another fancy place we call it? Brain. There are no jobs, in Africa, because I have a bunch of fancy qualifications that not a lot of my classmates and family members can pronounce. Therefore, I'll go and look for a job in Germany. Migration. Bottom line. Immigration, migration, and we have, you have all this crackdown on, you have all this crackdown in immigration, especially in a lot of stable developing countries and developed countries. There's a lot of crackdown on, on migration. The point is, that's who we are as a species. Wherever we, whenever we find ourselves struggling to find resources, we find a place that has resources and we would rather die. Would rather die trying than stay at one place that doesn't have resources. If you look at the Trump administration and their hardcore crackdown on immigration, for example, how do you think they got there? Migration. Because of the, constant fighting over resources in Europe, they had to scatter. They had to look for resources. Again, it's wired. It's very, it's human nature. It's we are all wired to seek greener pasture. That's how a lot of black people find themselves in, especially those of us that are in far south. That's how we got here, searching for resources. Again, migration. So now that we have built all these fancy borders, point of correction. Now that these fancy borders, especially for us, they were built for us. There are not a lot of migration options that we have except for the rural to urban. And this is what's being observed globally. We call it looking for opportunities and we don't really look at it as something that is inherent within us to go out and look for greener pasture. But, human beings, we are all wired. We are just wired to look for greener pastures. That's not something that is, new. And by the way, rural to urban migration is not, rural to urban migration is not a new name for it. We just added on the rural to urban part. The migration part is as old as time. Now that we have finished laying the foundation of this discussion, let's dive in. Whenever you find a large number of people or a large number of living organisms, not just people, you find that there's always a constant fight for resources. Now you have behavioral patterns that makes Charles Darwin run for his money. Because there's always going to be a constant fight for resources. For that resources, once we find it, if you look at urban to rural migration, once you move to the rural from rural area to urban area, it's a constant hassle for you to put your hands on the little resources that you can that you'll be able to put your hands on. Of course, there are those that have it better, aka those that can afford bologna, and then there are those of us that can only afford fat cakes. We are constantly battle for resources. When you look at it in those basic terms, you begin to realize just how animalistic we are. Even though ever since we started putting on suits, we started, denying our animal nature. So, goal number 11 of the Sustainable Development Goals, the 17, in case you missed them, points to, from the 1960s, from the 1960s and 70s, we began to realize that urban to rural migration is only going to increase. And all you just have to do is look here at home, aka Namibia, and you see that 2011 and 2023 population statistics indicates that there is a rapid urbanization taking place in a way that you have a large number of people that are migrating from rural areas into urban areas. Again, you can call it whatever you want to call it. Greener pasture, hassle, bottom line is, it's a migration. It's a natural response to lack of resources. And we have been doing it for millennia as a species. In Kenya recently, the Carlton group of hotels have faced heavy criticism from both in Kenya and basically the world over, especially those that have kept up with the trends or more like information trends in the tourism industry, because they build they build a very fancy resorts of about, I think, $4,000 a night. Multiply that by 18, then you'll understand why I'm saying why the pause. a night. Now they build the resort at a crossing point of what of a crossing point of a, where a lot of and now this is a known wildlife crossing point from. Depending on how, depending on the change in seasons from the Mara side of Kenya, from Mara Mara in Kenya to the, to the plains of the Serengeti in Tanzania. And now this crossing was disturbed because, tourists gather annually to watch this, this great migration of herds of animals. And a lot of tourists that actually paid money to go and witness this great migration were very pissed when they realized that their other fellow tourists actually interrupted the migration. They interrupted the crossing. I was like, okay, this should be fun. But anyway, coming back to Namibia, one thing that has been observed into our population pattern, if we just go as, as, not as far, but as close as the 2023 population and housing census. The NSA, through the NSA, we found out that, the population, the population of Namibia, the urban population of Namibia is at 53.8% and rising. But the rural population is at 46.2% and declining. One is rising, the other is declining. Not only is it high, urban population is high at 53.8% and increasing. And the rural population is at 46.2% and declining. There are pros and cons that comes with urbanization, of course. Like everything else, you are looking at pros and cons. Like, there are, if you want to build your economy, one thing about urbanization is that, if you want to build your economy on industrialization, aka skills-based economy in terms of processing and, processing and assembly plants and stuff, urbanization is a good thing because the more people you have, the more, the more people you have on, in close proximity, this is where your urbanization now comes in. Then you can easily, keep count of, of what skills are needed there or what services are needed there. Those are the advantages. Because, services like health and education, for example, are very easy to, to provide when you have people in close proximity. Electrification in one of those services that is easy, services, not just electricity, electrification. Water also, very easy to provide when people are in close proximity. But when they are scattered, you need a lot of piping to connect, all of them to water. And you need a lot of copper to provide all of, to connect all of them to electricity. But when they're in close, proximity, yeah, that's easy. So, the UN then, because the whole SDG thing is, well, is their thing, they decided to put up, it's not up to them. This is something they do annually. Actually, it's up to them. They have the power and also the money and this, the expertise. The United Nations Department of Economic and Social Affairs put up a population urbanization prospects of 2025, where they looked at, a group of over 200 countries. So just to put in mind that the UN has like 190 something members, how they went up to over 200 countries. Don't ask me. Over 200 countries where they looked at the rural to urban migration trends. And then they quickly realized that, what was observed, the rural to urban migration keeps increasing. Again, Namibia is no exception. 53.8, and just make it 54% and 54% urban population and rising in Namibia, and 46% rural population and declining. Now, when you factor in things like the subsidized education on the other hand, also, that is also going to play a very significant role into that rural to urban push. Because high institutions, for some reason, are all centered in urban areas. So even, you have high schools and primary schools scattered all across Namibia's rural areas. But after you graduate high school, when you are looking at tertiary education, you are looking urban. Because high institutions have different requirements from primary schools in terms of setting them up. You can't just set them up in the middle of a rural area. You are going to run into some major problems, like how many people can access that high institution, and then how many people are going to show up to enroll, and what services are the services that students need, how far are they? Take for example, if I want to make copies as a student, if I want to certify my documents as a student, how far is the nearest printing shop? How far is the nearest police station for me to certify my documents after I print them? If I need internet connection for me to submit my online assignments, how far is the nearest, how far is the nearest internet cafe? Or is there even any internet in 100 kilometer radius? So that's one of those reasons why urban areas are just, more like hosting most, if not all. Actually, let's just go with all. Urban areas are hosting all the high institutions. Except, at least in Africa, that I know for certain when it comes to countries like Namibia. So, rural to urban, this discussion is not something that is going to, this discussion is not one that we are going to be having in reverse in terms of urban to rural, urban to rural migration. According to this UN report, the rural to urban migration is going to be observed and is going to be on an increase, and then somewhere around 2050. Decline. And that decline is not, interesting enough, that decline is not going to be because the people in rural areas will be tired of seeing all these opportunities in urban areas and just decide, we are going to stay in a rural area. That decline is predominantly going to be dominated by one thing, population decline, like global population decline. In countries, especially developed countries, this is a problem they already have. There's already a decline in population because people don't want to have kids, and you can't blame them. Have you seen the cost of living? Now, what's being observed now in terms of population increase and in fertility, reproduction, and all those? And also, by the way, when you talk about population decline by 2050, you think we have problem now with climate change? Oh, we're gonna have problems. All right, we are gonna have problems. Thanks to, if you look at countries like South Korea and Japan, they are already looking into some developed countries have already implemented incentives to try to incentivize, couples to have kids. And this is where, capitalism now is low-key shooting itself in the foot. Picture this. Shareholders. You better be investing, as you already are doing, especially in a lot of developing countries, You better be investing into AI a lot, and you better cross your fingers and hope the AI, especially in, and also the technological advancements in robotics, is top notch by 2050. Because human beings, we are selfish to the core. We are very terrible at sharing resources. So we live on a planet where people are billionaires. They have more money than they know what to do with. And also on the same planet, you have people that can barely afford bread. This economic disparity is where you are seeing people, especially from the upper middle class and middle class and just way down to the lower class. they are coming to the realization of just how expensive it is to have kids. And as a result, they are cutting down on the number of kids they have. If you look at, if you look in your family, for example, and you ask yourself, how many kids did your grandparents have? They most likely had maybe 5, 10, some had 12, 15. But now if you mention that number of even 5 to a couple, they'll be like, are you nuts? I can't afford that. Why? Because it's just too expensive. Now, as a result, there's a slow global decline in the number of kids couples are choosing to have. And by 2050, that number is going to be really, really, really low, even in developing countries where this workforce statistics is shifting into developing countries, because in developed countries, the population statistics is declining because of how expensive it is to have children. There are people that are choosing to have one. There are people that are just choosing to have none. And you can't blame them. This is Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM. And as always, I'm here until the hour of 6. And today we're talking about global urbanization trends. Stay tuned for a break.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now, back to our report. From that, tangent of the whole observation of, the whole UN observation of the projected increase into, a rise into urbanization statistics until somewhere around 2050-ish, then there is a decline in that urbanization. And that decline is mostly going to be attributed to the decline in population, not because in 2050, rural population is now going to be, to pull their legs in terms of, or more like have second thoughts before, in terms of moving from rural to urban. Now, the decline in urban and the decline in rural and the rise in urban population calls for the need to be intentional in the urban setups. Because if you look at a lot of African countries, it's like we are being caught by surprise. The UN Department of Economics and Social Affairs have been looking at this urbanization trend since the 1960s. And a lot of African countries have, started achieving their independence from the very, guys that have been conducting this research. It's the irony. I know, right? Now, one thing that we begin to realize when we look at these statistics is that if the numbers of rural to urban migration is increasing, and is also projected to increase all through to 2050. Then that means it's either we must be intentional in a way that we are building our urban areas, or we are going to end up with the flying, with the flying plastics that have been, that Kenya have been synonymous with. Nairobi, Kenya, the capital city of Kenya, have been synonymous with. The slums of Nairobi grew so bad, so bad, actually. They call them informal settlement, as we call them informal, because this, now, a lot of developed, I had this conversation, with Dwight before, before I came in here. And he did point out something that, that I've actually never thought of or had before. That a lot of developed countries, they look at us and go like, what do you mean informal settlement? What do you mean informal? Because that points to lack of preparation. You have informal settlement because of lack of preparation. You didn't do, constant statistical, in terms of population analysis and update, and, updating in terms of population census and population shift in terms of rural to urban is one of those things that was pointed out in the presentation of this report, back in October. That this is something that must, that every central government must be aware of, that whether we like it or not, rural to urban migration is going to happen. And there are a lot of factors that basically, that are contributing to this. Not just unemployment. We live in a world of unpredictable weather patterns that is also impacting agriculture, including not sustainable agriculture, because sustainable is just at the back of my head and it's begging to pop up, including subsistence agriculture, which is the main source of both food and revenue in a lot of rural communities across the continent, across the developing world, not just in Africa. Now, because of these unpredictable weather patterns, agriculture is is becoming more of a betrayal, because it's either you have a lot of rain that it's flooding everything that you have planted, or you don't have enough rain that everything is drying up. You're just dealing with two extremes. Yeah, none of which is very conducive for one to produce a good enough yield to make ends meet on a rural level. So now you are seeing this shift into the, but not just a source of income, but also source of food. I'd rather go to an urban area and hustle to go and buy the food that's coming out of, commercial agriculture than just farm it myself, because this weather has just gone nuts. And then you begin to realize, urbanization is going to skyrocket. You don't have to like it. It's just going to happen. Windhoek is going to expand faster on the informal side than it will on the formal side. Because from the look of things, the formal side of expansion is not catching up with the urban, with the rural to urban influx. As a result, you have an informal settlement that is expanding faster. Now, this is why it's this also, housing is not the only issue that we are dealing with when you're talking about, rapid urbanization. You're also dealing with the service profession. You need to expand a hospital. You have to expand your health service provision. You have to expand your electricity service provision, education service provision, and all services that you afford, all services that are needed to maintain a healthy growing population. Because a healthy growing population means a healthy workforce. If you don't have a population, you don't have a workforce. And everything, the entire economy crumbles. Like, this is one of those things that is actually the center of global economy, but it's also neglected the workforce. Now, the the poorness in planning in terms of, you know, to account for the influx in urban to rural to urban migration is why we are now seeing this whole, urban setup where you have, transport. Transport is one of those services that is highly miscalculated in a lot of developing countries, where you are seeing employees that are coming from the most rural, most informal part of the town, but they work in the most formal part of the town, halfway across the town. Now, imagine coming from Babylon and you work in Zimbabwe. Like, at this point, I'm asking myself, how much do you spend on transport? I'm looking because you are talking about coming from the most informal part of town and you work in the most formal part of town. That's halfway across. Isn't that like almost 20 kilometers? If not more, because I calculate my distance from work, from home to work, that's about 12 kilometers. Actually, oh no, that's more. And I spend about $1,500 on transport. Well, it's what makes the economy go round. And now, I'm sitting and asking myself, for someone that works in, take Kahanja Park, that lives in Kahanja Park, or Babylon, or Mkwana Ngobe. Oh, that's my, you know, it's a very nice location. And you work in, you work at the side of Prosperita. Now, this is where you begin to see now just how creative people can be. This is where minibuses now comes in, because the minibus guys, I know they drive like they drive passenger buses like Van Diesel is running away, you know, is running away from the police. But the service they offer in terms of affordability of they have made transport services very affordable, because believe me, there are a lot of people that would not afford ordinary taxi to get to work. From Kommersdal to Kleinwintuk, or Shomithe to Kleinwintuk, or wherever you are coming from, to Kleinwintuk, you are most likely going to pay $26. Going back is $13. The psychology behind that, I don't get it though. It's like, the guys that can afford Poloni that lives in these fancy areas have made it very easy, very difficult for the people that cannot, can barely afford Poloni to come to their locations. But they've made it very easy for them to go back to where they come from. It's $26 to come, but going back is, that's just $13. In other words, we don't want you coming, but going, please, hamba, manji. 5:12, this is Home Run with Helm to on Eagle FM. Let's take a quick break and then come back and we'll pay the bills and we'll continue with the show. Stay tuned.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoiri nawa ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome
Welcome back. Before we continue, let's take a live read. Ongwediva Achievers, a private center. Pardon me. Right. Ongwediva Achievers, a private center, empowering minds, shaping futures. Boost your grade 11 NSSCO results. We are designed to help learners obtain better grade 11 NSSCO results. Intensive, practical, and teacher-led lessons. Affordable fees with flexible payment options. Subjects offered: English as a second language, Oshindonga, biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, development studies, agricultural science, geography, history, economics, business studies, entrepreneurship, and accounting. How to apply: complete application and pay application fee of $150. Email the application to Ongwediva Achievers Private Center at wu.edu.na. Alternatively, send your application via WhatsApp to 081-651-5138. For more information, contact Mr. Natangwe at 081-651-5138. Ongwediva Achievers Private Center, empowering minds, shaping futures. And we continue with our discussion as per the urbanization discussion. So if you look at SDG 11, it does sort of like, first of all, accept that urbanization cannot be stopped. And then it tries to point to some of some of the things that must be, basically every central government in the modern world must pay attention to in this rapid urbanization times. And now SDG 11, make cities human settlement inclusive, because if you look at a lot of developing countries, they are not very human settlement inclusive, because you have one part of town has all the services within reach. The other part of town, they are, even the name, informal settlement. In other words, you are here, we see you, but we don't recognize you yet. Legally, you are not supposed to exist. That's not very inclusive, if you ask me. So apart from SDG 11, making cities human settlement inclusive, we don't have to dive much on the inclusive part, because we know that, well, the inclusiveness part of it is very questionable, even from the labels that comes with, different part of different urban areas. Safety. The safety component is one of those things that, that the UN points out as something that every central government should prepare for in the, put into account as to something that they must provide to the, provide to their urban populations, because that urban populations are just going to increase. Resilient. I don't know about that. And sustainable. Also, don't know about that. Especially the sustainability aspect of it seems to be to be out of hand for a lot of central governments in developing countries. Because before you get to the service provision, let's just deal with the basics. Housing is growing faster than the housing, than the housing programs can keep up with. Again, all this put in mind requires money, which is what we keep hearing more often. Well, we don't have the money. We don't have the money. And true, the most part. And throwing in inflation and the cost of living and economic inequality, then you have just a problem that doesn't have any light at the end of the tunnel. Like, it's that bleak. So, on the urbanization statistics, like everything else, this whole influx of urban to rural, rural to urban migration, is having, it's not painting a very good picture. The UNDP, United Nations Development Program, let's go with that one. with the development instead of development programs. The back in 2017 indicated that rapid urbanization opportunities and challenges to improve the well-being of societies. Then they pointed out that by 2015, more than two-thirds of the world's population will live in cities. Now, for countries like Namibia in the recently urbanization report that was just put out by the UN, in terms of and the seriousness in the influx, more like that migration population, Namibia is still in green. In other words, when you look into all the urban areas in Windhoek, not just in Windhoek, in Namibia, and think that we have a rural to urban migration population problem. Well, according to the UN, we ain't seeing nothing. Because, it's going to increase. Because, the categorization, in the report, it's categorized in like three different colors. There's a yellowish orange, and then you have green and you have red. Red are those guys that have it worse, like most countries in South America, where you have, if you just go online and look up, the favelas in South America, which is especially in Brazil, it turns out people are going to migrate to urban areas to the point where you can't stop it. Brazil, by landmass, is huge. I think it's the largest in South America. So it's not that people don't have enough land to live in. It's just that they are all running to where there are opportunities. Now, as a result, you have urban areas that are about to be engulfed in informal settlements. Because, well, that's where the opportunities are. So people are going to go there. And if you are one of those that live in the fancy part of town, it's very easy to start saying that, what are these people doing here? Why are they not staying in rural areas? Well, okay, here's the thing. If you were in rural areas, if you were in their position, if you were not living somewhere in Kleina Kupe, Simbabasia, Academia, if you were in their position, you'd be doing the exact same thing. It's very easy to look at someone that lives in the informal settlement here in Windhoek and say, what are they doing here? Why can't they just stay? Why can't they just stay in the village? But here's the thing. Chances are really high. If you were in their position, you'd be doing the exact same thing. And my favorite part, chances are very high that if they were in your position, they'll be saying the exact same thing. Human beings, sometimes we can just be a serious pain in the behind. We pretend like, if you have it for those of us that live in Namibia, for example, we are a political stability check. Economic activity, economic growth, we don't have the best, but we have a very good one. So every time that we read the statistics of people that are literally using a boat to cross the sea from especially those coming from the Horn of Africa, and some of them literally dying in the desert, we look at those people and go like, why are they doing this? Have you seen Sudan? Have you seen Libya? You'd be on the boat, believe me. You are in Namibia. You have this political stability around you, which you don't value, by the way. If you were in Libya or Sudan, not South Sudan. South Sudan is bad, but it's not that bad. At least not compared to the northern part of Sudan. Like that's the Sudan without the direction to as part of its name. You'd be on the boat to Europe. It's very easy to say here when you know where your next meal is going to come from. It's very easy to say when you have a predictable schedule where you are going to be for Christmas, where your kids are going to go to school, where you are going to, if you got injured, where, what's the nearest hospital, what transport services you'd use if you want to get from point A to point B. You'd, dial a cab, Yango, InDrive, and all those things. Very predictable schedule. But if you find yourself in countries like Sudan, you are here today. The next thing you know, a bunch of rebels shows up and you have to run to the next one. If you are injured, you don't know how far the next hospital is and whether or not it's under the control of rebels. So there's a lot of unpredictability in your schedule to the point where, believe me when I tell you, you'd be on a boat to Spain. Again, very easy to say when you are seated in an air-conditioned room. Okay, now I'm just making fun of myself. It's very easy to say. Very easy to say when you find yourself in countries like Namibia. Do we have the best country? Yes, no, maybe. My favorite Russian phrase for that is "Да нет, наверное." Yes, no, maybe. That means it's debatable, depending on who you ask. "Да нет, наверное" is yes, no, maybe. Are we going shopping? Yes, no, maybe. Translation: I'm broke. You can go alone. Thank you. So, we think we have urbanization problems in Namibia with our only 3 million population. No, we don't. And let's just look at our immediate neighbor, like South Africa, for example. As well, last time I checked, the population of Joburg, not South Africa, not half of South Africa, Joburg, the city, Joburg, 5 million. I think right now they're about 5 point something, if not 6 million. We're just 3 million. 3 million and 22,000 and something. And we're already saying, hey, you know, this urbanization, this, now at this point, you know, if you are going, why are we even talking about this? Oh, because we've already started complaining with the, you know, thereby urbanization. For those of you that have that are subscribers of the of the e-villager, back in April you read one interesting article on this whole rural to urban an opinion piece that was written for the e-villager, which you can subscribe to by sending your name and phone number via WhatsApp to 0812004144. It's going to close for the holidays. The e-villager newspaper is going to close for the holidays. But don't worry, you can just subscribe. It will resume in January, where it will bring you one of those annual headaches that covers that covers headlines every year. Oh, parents are lining up to register their kids and this and that and all that and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's one of the services that's actually required. One of those services that's required. Now, rural economic activities includes selling and bartering products, according to Mr. Erastus Angaruka, who wrote for the e-villager back in April. For example, one may sell a goat to a neighbor for money to exchange it for venerable commodities, food items or services rendered. However, urban settlers and businesses and tourists also offer trading opportunities to rural and rural communities by buying livestock, wild food. Don't put wild animals in them unless you're buying it. And legally, of course. And now crops, crafts, etc. These rural economic activities are mainly driven by immediate household needs related to food, health, education, and cultural events such as weddings and funerals. Oh yeah, December, wedding month. Wedding month. January, February, March. I don't think I would get married in December though, because after December comes January, because January, January will test you if your new marriage's financial, will start slapping you with financial challenges, especially if you borrowed money to throw a party for a bunch of strangers. That's on you. But anyway, if you've already borrowed money and the wedding is just you have an impending, impending wedding, then congratulations. Just don't borrow money to get married. Yeah, don't. If I find myself in a relationship where a girl is saying, let's borrow money to get married, we are breaking up. Because you have to understand, a wedding, that's a party for like a week, depending on how loaded you are. But after that, the real challenge is coming. First of all, you're both going to be too busy working to service the loan to even go on a honeymoon. At the end of the day, stress levels like that will even start impacting, you know, Captain Johnson. He's not going to be on attention with that level of stress. And then all of a sudden, hey, he's terribly in bed. No, he's not. No, he's it's debt. It's debt, buddy. Debt. It's not terrible. Just to give the man a break. But anyway, how did we end up here? Mind the gap, ish, mine. Sorry. Oh. 29 past the hour of 5. Home run with Helmut on Eagle FM. We are going to take a break. Let's pay the bills. And we continue on the other side with more, you know, PG-rated home run.
Jika isibo cho hobisa na kubeko Shoprite haka na onda ndo kiri o nene no hobisa ra ifudo mi pumbiwa esku kehe ngashi o keji nda ndo suka onto kiri o marathon kontra shpomiro ngo waino waino sendo mira ngo waino wai nenge ina nati ali o litera zili mbali toko rora poka chiko Pepsi Cola Light Max Mountain Dew nenge mirinda kusa zili mbali zoma rudiga yoroka kontra shpomiro ngo ndapu adzike ganja no kumana ushinji mungo fandisa yo kiri ko Shoprite ziri kosu kumiro ngo mbali na kaheta tuka December nuvo oko Shoprite, akuke, kakiro tovuruna tago ukuranda ushari ko Shoprite. Ningangei, landini mitatu ili methi gathano. Tarana wakamba pila koe, ngele ongo iwasenda na ethimbo njoka. Karano kuranda ikando inji, uinji pare kompito yoe. Yoku sindana, ethi gathano, tarihuruma mirongo, mbali na gatano gatesemba, nuvo.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste. That gives you that refreshing first, only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Welcome back. We have 28 minutes before I call it a day for today. So let's take a live read and then we continue again on the other side. Ongwediva Achievers a Private Center, empowering minds, shaping futures. Boost your grade 11 NSSCO results. We are designed to help learners obtain a better grade 11 NSSCO results. Intensive, practical, and teacher-led sessions. Affordable fees with flexible payment options. Subjects offered are English as a second language, Oshindonga, biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, development studies, agricultural science, geography, history, economics, business studies, entrepreneurship, and accounting. How to apply? Complete an application form and pay an application fee of $150 Namibian. And email the application form to Ongwediva Achievers Private Center at wu.edu.na. Alternatively, send your application form via WhatsApp to +264 81 651 5138. For more information, contact Mr. Natangwe at +264 81 651 5138. Ongwediva Achievers, a private center. Empowering minds, shaping futures.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM.
And welcome back. So we continue with our population discussion. Vulnerabilities to poverty. We are back to the, you know, back to the e-village discussion. Rural-urban migration has a negative impact on agricultural production. That's the impact now on agriculture. Because if you look at subsistence farming, for example, subsistence farming is heavily reliant on family labor. Call it that. And I say family labor because, I'm black. I grew up knowing, I grew up plowing. Actually, you know, don't let the verbosity fool you. I know how to plow. Well, I know how to plow. Not with a tractor, of course. Get yourself a kavango friend. Now, the thing is, this type of agriculture, which is a main source of both income and food security for the large part of the rural population, is being threatened by this, population increase, population decrease in the rural areas and population increase in the urban areas. So, because, let's just use, yours truly here as an example. This is rainy season. He's supposed to be somewhere plowing, but, you know what's my favorite part? Now he has to send money home for plowing. Because, him going home to plow means the only service he will able to assist with is plowing. That's not happening. Thereby send us some money for, you know, to buy toiletries and also to go back to school, thereby sibling. You can't provide that by just being at home and plowing, which is why you now see a lot of people moving to the urban areas and looking for these Western economic opportunities, because two birds with one stone helps you kill two birds with one stone. CK. So. As a result, there's a subsistence agriculture is being threatened as we speak by, subsistence agriculture is being threatened by it's being threatened by rural to urban migration. Now, when you look at subsistence agriculture is the main source of food security for a lot of developing countries, including Namibia. Rural to urban migration. Alternatively, agriculture is an economic pillar in Namibia, supporting all livelihoods in the form of food, employment, and income. And it constitutes the main economic activity in rural areas. We're still with the village here, either for subsistence or for commercial basis. Now, the reduction in agricultural productivity negatively affects the food system. You know, that thing that we want to achieve, that food security thing? Well, it's also negatively impacted by urbanization. So, going back to that UN report. One thing this report highlights is that the fact that on this global, on the pictorial, on the pictures provided in this report, one thing that you see is that Namibia is one of those countries that's still in green. In other words, As much as we think that we have an urbanization, urban to rural migration problem, and our urban areas are expanding, so bad, we are struggling to sustain them. Yeah, by global standards, we are nowhere near what other countries are going through, but we're gonna get there. So I think instead of looking at it as a giant problem, let's understand that we have actually been given some heads up, even though they prepare thereby preparation. We are not very good at that. We are not very good at the preparation part, but we can actually do that. Now, the thing is, why am I saying we are not very good at preparation? One thing that Windhoek has been, Namibia is a semi-arid country. That means rainfall is not our strong suit. Drought, on the other hand, now that's our homie. So water is more often scarce. Water is more often scarce. And Windhoek is always complaining about is that use water wisely, because we have a lot. Namibia is this country that has a lot of underground water, but on the surface water, we don't have a lot of that. And rain, we don't have a lot of that. And even when it rains, like it's raining right now, what we begin to experience is that once it starts heating up, it becomes really hot. That evaporation is very extreme. And at the end of the day, we end up in a situation where even if we get a good rainfall, we struggle to find a place to keep the water in a catchment area without an extreme, without it evaporating. We have Negatal Dam, for example, or you can have, Korehab Dam here, for example. You can channel the water in a way that when it rains, it's all channeled to one giant catchment area. But the problem is, once the rainy season comes to an end, you don't have a lot of options to basically keep that water from evaporating, because the heat is going to be insane, and when the water is heated, it evaporates. You can't stop it. So agriculture is being impacted on a rural area, on a rural level, because of this rural to urban migration, and we can see this happening in Namibia. And the rural to urban migration is not only impacting the rural area in a way that it's impacting the agricultural practices and also economic activities, because there are less people left in rural areas to keep up the rural economy, or you can call it the informal economy, which is one aspect of our the Namibian economy that we are looking at formalizing. And that's just not in Namibia, that's the goal of the International Labour Organization. That means every UN member states, that's the goal they have, to formalize their informal economy. Now, the rural area is being impacted by the rural urban migration because of lack of economic activities, because there are now less people left there to participate in this economy. And also the subsistence agriculture, which serves as a food security practice for a lot of rural areas, is being left in limbo. The urban area, the fact that it's gaining this number of people, and the fact that there are now a lot of people to participate in the urban economy, does not mean we have, it's all cupcakes and rainbow. But the urban areas are also going to be impacted because of the service provision is going to be under strain. Water wise, education wise, health wise, transport wise, is going to be under strain. And then now the housing market is going to experience a serious problem, because what happens is wherever there is a lot of people to participate in the economy, it creates a demand for a lot of services and products. And what does demand, what does that lead to? The increase in prices. So, and we are back to square one, cost of living. And that cost of living is going to make people think twice before having children. That translates to a growing population. At the end of the day, we are going to find ourselves in a situation where, in a situation where a lot of developed countries are right now, where they have a very large, pensioner population, and it's also increasing. Now, to cater for this large pensioner population, you have to, when you have a larger pensioner population, population ratio compared to the working population, the small working population is going to be put under strain of having to take care of those retirees. Because now that's when you, that's one of the reasons why you are seeing the taxes, the income tax in a lot of developed countries is insane. Because they don't have a small, they don't have a small enough working population. They don't have a big enough working population. And how did they get there? I'll tell you, economic inequality. A bunch of people that can afford polony thought, you know what, we're just going to hoard all the resources and then leave out, segregate the upper middle and lower income. And the upper middle and lower income, they run every economy. The elites, first of all, they don't participate in the economy they fund. They are too lazy to work. They have the money to fund the economy, but they don't have the kids to participate in the economy because they are all driving fancy cars somewhere in Monaco. One mistake all countries keep making in terms of development. This is the mistake that you see all developed countries made, was neglecting their middle class. And as a result, they found themselves in very giant problems. So, where is the world headed in terms of population statistics? Especially population statistics as it relates to rural to urban migration. To answer that question, I managed to get a short audio from the World Urbanization Report, and that World Urbanization Report, the voice you're going to be hearing is one of one lady from the Department of Economics and Population Affairs. Her name is Sarah Hertog, who also participated into the press conference where the World Urbanization Prospects or World Urbanization Report 2025 was unveiled back in October. Please stay tuned for the audio. That is Sarah Hertog. That's a nice name.
I'll begin with an overview of global trends in urbanization. The degree of urbanization defines cities as population centers with at least 50,000 inhabitants and a density of at least 1,500 people per square kilometer. Towns are clusters of at least 5,000 inhabitants and density of at least 300 people per square kilometer. And finally, rural communities are less densely populated than cities or towns. In 1950, when our estimates begin, city living was relatively unusual. Close to 500 million people lived in cities at the mid-century, which was equivalent to just one-fifth of the world's 2.5 billion total population at that time. The remaining four-fifths of the population were evenly split between towns and rural areas. In the decades that followed, the number of people living in cities and towns grew rapidly, while the rural population increased only slowly. By the mid-1970s, city dwellers outnumbered those in rural areas, but towns remained the most common living environment globally. The balance tipped again some 20 years later in 1996, when the collective population of cities overtook that of towns. And since then, both the number of city dwellers and their share of the global population have continued to grow. In 2025, 45% of the world's 8.2 billion people live in cities, 36% live in towns, and the remaining 19% live in rural areas. Our projections to 2050 indicate that two-thirds of the growth of the world's population will occur in cities, and that most of the remaining one-third of growth will occur in towns. The size of the global rural population is expected to peak sometime in the 2040s and then begin to gradually decline. Now, while this trend towards city life has occurred in all regions, there is still a great degree of heterogeneity across countries in the distribution of population by degree of urbanization. Today, in 2025, cities house more people than either towns or rural areas in 104 countries or areas. So that's just under half of the 237 countries or areas for which we have produced estimates and projections in the WUP. In 71 countries or areas, towns are the most common settlement type, meaning that towns house more people than either cities or rural areas. Countries in all regions and at diverse levels of economic development are found within this group, including Germany, India, Uganda, and the United States of America, for example. Rural areas continue to be the most common settlement type for 62 countries or areas, and those are shown in green. These include several countries in Europe, such as Austria, Bulgaria, Croatia, Finland, France, Poland, and Romania, as well as numerous countries in sub-Saharan Africa, like Central African Republic, Chad, Eswatini, Mali, Mozambique, South Sudan, and Zimbabwe, and Zambia, among others. In addition to the population estimates for the three categories of settlement and the degree of urbanization, the WUP presents estimates and projections of population for each of the world's more than 12,000 cities. These figures reveal that there are 33 megacities with at least 10 million inhabitants in 2025, and more than half of the megacities are in Asia. Jakarta, Indonesia, with nearly 42 million inhabitants, is the world's most populous city today. But projections indicate that fast-growing Dhaka, Bangladesh, will surpass Jakarta to become the world's largest city by 2050. Now, while megacities are important, the 2025 WUP makes clear that more people live in small and medium-sized cities than in megacities. Indeed, 81% of the world's cities have fewer than 250,000 inhabitants. Many of these smaller settlements are among the world's fastest-growing cities, including many of those in Africa and Asia. Now, most cities have seen growing populations, but over 3,000 of the world's 12,000 cities experienced population decline over the last decade. In some of these cases, city population decline mirrored national demographic trends. But in some cities, the population shrank even as their country's population grew. And conversely, some cities grew despite having shrinking national populations. Earlier, John highlighted that for the first time, the 2025 edition of the WUP includes estimates and projections of the built-up area of human settlements, which describe the extent of the surface area that contains buildings or other permanent structures. These estimates reveal that the expansion of built-up areas is outpacing population growth worldwide, such that the average built-up area per person rose from 43 to 63 square meters between 1975 and 2025. Trends in built-up area per capita and in city population density, which is also included in the WUP for the first time in this edition, these indicators can help to describe the efficiency of humans' land use and contribute to the evidence base needed to assess progress on the Sustainable Development Goals and the New Urban Agenda.
Welcome back. That was Sarah Hetog, who is the Population Affairs Officer at the United Nations. That was during the launch of the 2025 World Urbanization Prospects, a report that was based on about 230 something countries on the rural to urban migration trend, and what every central government should basically put in mind and giving them some heads up, especially those ones that are still lagging far behind in having to deal with the problem of rural to urban migration at a scale that a lot of countries, even those ones that are developing, are dealing with it. Those ones that are developing with a large population size. It was just pointed out, one country that is actually that's already having that, you know, that already, that's already having to deal with the rural to urban migration problem. Like they have it as, you know, on a 911 emergency. Let's come back to Namibia. 10111 emergency, is Zambia, because, their population is actually, you know, their population is higher than ours and they are facing the rural to urban migration. And, you know, just like any other developing countries, you know, just like any other developing countries, not just them. South Africa, throw South Africa in that bucket, because like I pointed out earlier, South Africa has Namibia and South Africa, even though they have a lot of things in, you know, they are basically conjoined twins, economic and political wise, not size, of course, like similarities in their political and economic affairs. But population-wise, South Africa is I don't know how many times you will have to multiply Namibian population for it to fit in, for us to match with South Africa. Because South Africa is about, 60-something million? And we are 3 million, really 3. Oh yeah, South African population 63 million minus the 60, that's us. So we may have a rural to urban migration problem. The issues are starting to manifest in terms of, the impact on the rural side and, on both the rural and urban side of this, rapid, rural to urban migration. Economic activities are booming in rural, economic activities are booming in urban areas thanks to this rural and urban, rural to urban influx. But also there's a problem with that. The problem with that is that a lot of urban areas are sort of like being caught with their, you know, with their pants below their knees in a way that, there's a lot of unintentional development being done, because unintentional development in a sense that you have an ever expanding rural, informal settlement. Even ever expanding informal settlement, and the term informal again begs the question of what do you mean informal? It's like one of those times where Helmut and his girlfriend has a very, you know, a little too much of a fun on Valentine's Day, and then realize that they are, they are expecting Helm Jr. And then Helm is informed, and then his first question is, how that happened? Hang on a second. How that happened? That's your first question. That's impossible. Really? What did he think? You were firing blanks. It can't be me. Are you sure? Because at this point, if I was a woman, I would really want to be sure. It can't be me. It can't be you. So, is there something you want to tell me about, your boys? Are they slow swimmers or something? Okay. Let's breathe and then come back to, PG rated content. So, Namibia, yes, we're dealing with the issues. On an urban area, on an urban level, and on a rural level, but we are nowhere near dealing with the problems with the rural to urban problem on the level that countries like Zambia that was pointed out, and also and South Africa that was also pointed out in that audio that you just listened to. Zambia is an interesting case because by land mass it's almost the same size as ours, but their population is huge. Actually, their population is, Zambia is 20 million according to their 2023 estimate. 2023 estimate. 20 million. So, as much as we think that we have it bad, No, we don't. Actually, we're just at a right in time to prepare for it. And Zambian, the capital city of Zambia, 2022 population estimates they're 2.something million. That's just the city. That's just the capital city. And then let's see South Africa. Can we just stop comparing ourselves at South Africa, with South Africa at this point? Because, Pretoria has the population of, what's that? And they're very good at labeling their population. This population is white people. This population is black people. Now, Pretoria has the population of about 2 million. Also, almost our population. I'm looking for Joburg. Nah, actually don't have time to go for Joburg because South Africa already has like three capital cities. Pretoria is not going to have a big enough population. I know Joburg is just going to be like, is going to take the cake all the time. But before Gondi, commercial break.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat, spice, poik is ready. Even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Howie, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh,
you can't get without tassim, bruh. It's like cabana without salsa dog. Tassimber. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Enjoy responsibly. The time is 6 o'clock on the dot. Time to wrap it up. So we call it a good Monday. If you just tuned in, you have tuned in to the end of Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. And 6 o'clock is the time that I say goodbye, just to wrap things up now, shall we? Today's Home Run discussion was based on the World Population World Urbanization Prospect. The UN looked at the UN, specifically the United Nations, the UN's Department of Economic and Social Affairs. They looked at they looked at more than member countries. And they looked at the rural to urban migration, and it's been increasing since the 1960s, and it's expected to increase until 2049, 2050, at which it's expected to slowly decline, all the way into 2100. But that's the least of my worry. Unless I can be strong and be stable and be basically able-bodied as I am now, I don't want to live 200 years. Like, what's the point of being confined to the ICU and still be alive? Aye. Which is why, live now. Live now, people. Live now. Just now. Not tomorrow. Now. You're welcome. Oh dear. Now, that decline again is pointing more to that decline in 2050 is pointing more to is pointing more at the people just deciding not to have kids because for among other reasons cost of living. Life is becoming more and more expensive by the day. Loaf of bread, I'm told that was $5 at some point. Now it's $15, five times three. Depending on where you're buying it, of course, it could be higher than that. Sure, I showed up at a shop one day to buy bread. No, a time, and someone told me, the wonderful lady behind the counter walked me. One of those home shops just next to, in my location. The lady pointed out, those airtime that you buy for $10? Yeah. Well, here they're $12. And those ones for $5, those ones, like, those ones are, they're about $6. I'm like, huh? Like, okay. Does MTC know about this? Because if they do, I would like to have a conversation with them about, the dollar something that they are taking out of my $10 airtime. That one. I want to talk to them about that one. Because if I'm paying extra, why am I being deducted? That's just me. Just asking questions like seriously. You and your supplier must talk about this whole thing because leave me out of it because I'm already paying. Come on. Have you seen the, well, everything is expensive. We're all suffering. We're all suffering. Oh, before I eat too much into, David's time. Rural to urban migration. Today's discussion was based on World Urbanization Prospect 2025, and that was coming from the UN, and that was the looking at the rural to urban migration and the negative impact this migration has on both rural and urban, and that is in line with SDG number 11, which seeks to ensure human settlement inclusivity in urban areas, because they are very specific with cities, like cities, and also the safety aspect. Now, boy, I wish we had more time. The safety aspect is one that is very macabre and very sinister now, because what's being recommended as to ensure the safety of the safety of inhabitants of cities is very dystopian, because this is where you see the rise in CCTV and surveillance to the point of we are about to scrape the whole privacy out through the window because of that whole in the name of safety thing. Now, I want to be safe, yes, but not at the expense of my privacy. But the thing is, now the problem we're facing here is that tech companies are trying to monetize on this. Tech companies are trying to monetize on the security problems that is more often arising every time that population sizes, especially in urban areas, increase. Futurism, my go-to source for everything tech updates. There's an article that they published last year where one billionaire actually came under fire for saying that citizens will be on their best behavior if you just monitor them like nuts. Well, one of the statements that basically brought him under fire was that idiot. Yeah. Citizens will be on their best behavior because we are constantly recording and reporting everything going on. Now, that was Larry Ellison, the second richest man, second from Elon Musk, the co-founder of Oracle. Basically the tech heaven, tech god, call them that. Last year, when he was attending, what event was this guy attending? He was attending one of those tech events. That's where he sort of like tried to justify the dystopian level of surveillance that's being implemented in a lot of urban areas. And that's where he said one of the things that basically put him, all over social media, and boy was he cooked, well done on both sides. He said citizens, speaking mostly on CCTV, that citizens will be on their best behavior because we are constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on. This guy is a billionaire. He's a billionaire that's slowly getting out of touch with reality, because at some point he compared himself to God. It turns out that's what power and money does to you. And by the way, money and power has that influence. I think it was that Lord Acton who said, power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. There's a reason why we came up with the separation of powers in the political sphere, because we realized that giving all the legislative, executive and judiciary power in the hands of the guy called the king, who keeps claiming that all the power was given to him by a big guy upstairs, It's just power that concentrated is toxic to anyone. You and I don't have power now. We can easily say, you know what? Actually, if I was a billionaire, I would behave. No, you won't. You can barely behave with $1,000. So, bro, Larry Ellison here thinks that surveilling anyone, everyone, including when they are in the toilet, is a brilliant idea. He's too much into the tech world. He doesn't realize that in the legal world, there's something called the right to privacy. If you are watching me every time, you are violating my right to privacy. Actually, look, I don't want to watch you all the time, and I don't want you to watch me all the time. Not that I don't like watching you. It's just that for the sake of my sanity, I don't want you going through constipation or diarrhea in your toilet. No! Thank you. Home run with Helmed on Eagle FM. Until tomorrow, y'all have a good one.